John chapter 11. We're going to read from the first verse in the chapter. Reading down through this 11th chapter in the Gospel of John. And this morning we're going to consider a message in a time of need. Reading from the first verse. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and to Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Mary unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way, and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come, and calleth for thee. As soon as she had heard that, she arose quickly, and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away this stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Amen. We'll end our reading at the verse 46, and we trust and pray that the Lord will take his own precious word and write it upon our hearts for Jesus' sake. With God's word open, let's just bow briefly and momentarily in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee this day for thy precious word, thy word that brings us to consider Christ. We ask that thou wilt speak to each and every one present, to each and every person who is listening or who will listen to this message. Our gracious God, we ask that thou wilt quicken us today through thy word. We thank thee, Lord, that in a time of need, that in a time of trial, praise God, we have the unchanging, the sure word of God. We rejoice today in thy word as one that findeth and obtaineth great spoil. It is our prayer that thou wilt bring us each one by faith to behold Christ. May we look upon our Savior afresh. May we behold the one whom our soul loveth. Speak to each and to every waiting soul, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Text that I want to leave with you is at verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister, secretly saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Among the many wise sayings of the Puritans was one, God's delays are not his denials. That statement would certainly be very appropriate when we think of John and the chapter 11. In this passage, we read about a very godly family from the town of Bethany, the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Was a place that the Lord frequented often. Here was a family who unreservedly welcomed the blessed Savior into their midst. It was, however, not only a home where Christ was welcome, but it was also a place where Christ was worshipped. It was a place where the Lord Jesus had the preeminent place, where he was in the hearts and the home of Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. Of course, that's what our homes ought to be. A place where the Savior himself is welcomed into the midst. And a place where we as families, where we worship and we bow before the Lord. It was to this home that sickness entered. As God's people, we are not immune from the trials and the tragedies of life. We're not to think it a strange thing concerning the fiery trial which is to try us, although it were some strange thing what happened unto us. In the everyday walk of life, we encounter disappointments. We know what it is to face difficulties. Perhaps there's someone here present, and you would have to say silently from your heart, even now, you have no idea what I am going through. You have no idea of the trials lately that I have encountered and faced. It seems to be that there's just one trial after another. It appears that I only seem to get my head above water, and then the waves of another discouragement or trial come. Let me encourage you, dear child of God, this day, that whilst we may not and I may not know what you're going through, praise God, the Lord does. He sees every ache from the heart. He sees and he checks every falling tear. Notice how Mary and Martha reacted when faced with the trial of their brother's sickness. If you look here at the first verse, we read, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha." Then in verse 3 we go on to read, "Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." As this trial is presented before them, we find that immediately they do the right thing and the wise thing. They seek for the Lord. They ask that the Lord himself would come into their midst. Likewise, as God's people, we need such wisdom to do the same. Whatever trials we go through, whatever tragedies we encounter, the triumphs that we partake of, that in each and every circumstance of life, that we bring everything to the Lord and leave it there. Martha and Mary, they sought the Lord about this matter. They were convinced that if the Savior came, then he would heal their brother Lazarus and make him well again. And so they sent word for the Lord to come. The two sisters not only asked that the Savior himself would come, but they expected him to come. However, the answer they received was not one that they had anticipated. For the Savior himself delayed coming to Bethany for a number of days, some 4 days. It was during that time, that period, that Lazarus' health had deteriorated and he died. His body was taken, wrapped in grave clothes, and as custom was, he was buried the same day that he died. It was not the outcome that Mary and Martha had expected. If you look at the verse 5 here, we read, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." And no doubt there would have been all sorts of questions that the sisters would have turned over in their minds. Why did the Lord delay? Why did he not come at once? Does he not care? Has he no compassion? And yet we find here that there was no contradiction between the Savior's actions and his sinless person, because we can be absolutely certain that nobody cares like Jesus cares. The Lord is a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. There is no one more loving, more compassionate, no one more caring than the blessed Son of God. The Lord Jesus could have immediately stepped into this heart-rendering circumstance. He could have answered the petition right away, but he chose not to. And that reason is stated for us in the verse 4, where we read, "When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." All too often, our timing and God's are in conflict. We desire to have the answers, but we must have them now. We need to reflect upon this truth that God's delays are not his denials. In his perfect time, the Lord Jesus Christ made his way to Bethany. And as he approached, we read in verse 20, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house." We read here that Martha arose immediately that she went to Christ. However, Mary remained in the house. After meeting the Savior, Martha made her way back home to her sister. She had a message for her loved one. It was a vital message. It was a very important message. She came to Mary and she declared, "Mary, the Master is come and calleth for thee." And this morning we're going to look at this verse and consider a message given in a time of need. Consider here the source of the message. You see, it was Martha that proclaimed this message to her sister Mary. That in itself is amazing, because previously Martha had complained to the Lord how that Mary wasn't serving, how that she was, in effect, sitting still. And so she complained. She murmured against her sister. If you look at Luke chapter 10 and the verse 40, we read here, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Here we find Martha, and she's criticizing her sister. She's complaining about her. And yet as we read here about Martha and Mary here in this portion, we find that Martha returns to Mary, and Mary is sitting in the house. She is sitting still. However, on this occasion, she doesn't complain about that. She doesn't criticize her. Rather, Martha here, she seeks to encourage her sister. She's compassionate towards her. And that's amazing. We would do likewise to be of the same practice. That we would learn the lesson not to criticize other believers, to be taken up with what this man or that woman is doing in the service of God, to find fault, but rather that we would be an encouragement to the saints of God. That if we haven't got something positive and good to say, something constructive, then we say nothing. We would rather be an encouragement to God's people. Why did Mary not rise up and go out to meet the Lord? Why did she not go with her sister Martha? Perhaps it was because she was unaware of his coming, that she had not heard the news, that news only came to Martha. But I think that the reason why is certainly indicated in verse 32 and verse 33. Here in verse 32 we read, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Then on verse 33, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." You see, here we read about Mary, a dear child of God, whose heart was crushed and broken. She loved her brother with all of her heart. But now she finds herself in the depths of despair and grief and sorrow. And it is to that tender heart, that aching void, that Martha brought a word of encouragement. We ought to do likewise with the saints of God, to encourage those who are going through trials and who are going through difficulties, that we might encourage them by a word from the Lord. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples," the Lord said, "if ye have love one toward another." Martha brought a sincere message to Mary. It was also a word brought in secret. If you look here at the verse 28, we read, "And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master has come and calleth for thee." She was conscious, of course, that there were many Jews present there in the house. Those Jews had come to comfort in the home of Mary and Martha. They'd come to be present there to share with them in their time of need. But Martha, of course, realized that amongst the Jews that Not all of them would give a warm welcome and a reception to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so she came privately. She came secretly. She delivered that message quietly. There is, of course, a work for us all to do in the secret place. In the place of prayer, in the place of giving, in the place of encouraging one another to go on through with God, there's a work for us each one to do in secret. This message was also a specific message when we think of the message that was delivered. You see, it was tailor-made for Martha. It was just what she needed to hear. It was a word in season. It was a personal word. It was an individual word. It was a word that alone could meet the need of this dear saint of God. We briefly considered the source of the message, but we also want to think of the substance of this message, what it consisted of. You see, this was a powerful word that Martha delivered to her sister. It was a great word of encouragement. What she did here was she encouraged her sister to focus upon Christ, to look to Him, to lean upon Him. And can I say that whatever you and I face in life, whatever trials, whatever tragedies, whatever triumphs that we encounter, that we must focus on Christ, that we must lay hold upon the Son of God. She encouraged Mary to look to the Lord. She says, "Mary, the Master is come and calleth for thee." Martha appoints her sister to the person of Christ. Notice here that she speaks about the Master. Now she could have addressed Mary and said, "Mary, the Lord has come. Jesus has come. Our friend has come. The Savior has come." But she didn't say that. She refers to the Master. The Greek word for master, didaskalos, means teacher or instructor. When we turn to Matthew in the chapter 19, we find a young man who came before the Lord Jesus Christ. He came with a very searching question. Matthew 19 and the verse 16. "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And here this young man comes before the right teacher, the one who alone could instruct him. Let me say, dear person today, that regarding the issues of life, death, and eternity, that the Word of God alone holds the answers to the great questions of life. Why am I here? What is the purpose to life? Is there life after death? The Word of God alone tells us the answer. And here we read about a young man, and he came before the Master. He came before the teacher, the Lord Jesus. And he wanted to know how he could have eternal life. Is there someone here this morning? That is the thought that is upon your mind and your heart. You're curious about the things of God. Perhaps lately you've been thinking about your own personal need of salvation. Well, let me say this, that there was no one better for this young man to come to than to Christ. That is who you must go to Christ. In John and the chapter 3, we read about a religious leader of the Jews called Nicodemus. We would all be very familiar, of course, with the portion. If you look at John chapter 3 and the verse 1, we read there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Here we find Nicodemus comes seeking. He comes curious. Comes before the Lord himself. And he says that thou art a teacher. That word teacher is the same word translated in John chapter 11 and the verse 28 as master. For the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the great teacher. He is the instructor. You see, the Lord had some important things to say to Mary, to teach Mary. He was going to teach her about his love, about his power, about his sovereignty. Mary here was also brought to consider not only the person of Christ, but also the presence of Christ. Martha said, "The Master is come." In effect, she was saying, "The Lord is here. The Savior is present." What a difference it makes to know that the Lord is with you. We have the promise of God. "Lo, I am with you always. I will never leave thee nor forsake me." Oh, praise God today that no matter what we encounter, what we face in life, the Lord is there standing at our right side with us. That the Lord is there present in the midst of our trial. That the Lord sees and he understands. Martha also encouraged her sister to consider the proclamation of Christ, where she said, "The Master has come and calleth for thee." See, it's Spurgeon said of this text, "We never come to Christ till Christ comes to us. That is the order." And so it was that the blessed Savior came to where Mary was and he called her to himself. Of course, that word calleth indicates and it shows us our need to completely rest on what the Lord has said. We are to rest upon the Word of God. Mary was to know with full assurance that the Lord loved her. "He calleth for thee." It was a personal word. It was a word that she needed for that time. In the Song of Solomon we read, "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, come away." There are, of course, times whenever the devil seeks to attack our mind in particular. He propagates a lie that we don't really matter to the Lord. That if the Lord truly loved us and cared for us, that he would not allow us to go through such difficulties and through such trials. But can I say, dear child of God, take great encouragement this day to know that your life matters to the Lord. That he loves you, that he cares for you. As one washed in the precious blood of Christ, you are Christ's purchased possession. We read in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, "Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." You belong as a child of God to the Lord. You are his possession. You're also Christ's precious possession, for we read there, "The precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Now unto us therefore which believe, Jesus Christ, he is precious, he is dear, he is sweet to us. But oh, how humbling to think that we are precious to our Savior. Take great encouragement today as one washed in the blood, that you are Christ's personal possession. For the Lord says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." And this was exactly the word that Mary needed to hear. She needed comfort. She needed a word in season. She needed a word to lift her heart. Martha came with that word of encouragement. Mary, focus on Christ. Think of the Lord Jesus. He's here with you now. He understands your need. Mary, lay hold on him. But here, I want you to also consider the significance of this message. For it was a very significant outcome. The message that Mary heard had a tremendous impact upon her. Look at verse 29. We'll read verse 28 for continuity. Mary, her sister, called her secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." Verse 29, as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Notice the effect that the word had upon her. It quickened her right away. There was a sense of urgency here. She arose quickly. There was no time for lingering. She must get to Christ. Or that we would have the same desire and passion. You see, Mary here left all other comforters to come to Christ. Whenever we read about Mary in Scripture, we find her at the feet of Jesus. We find that Mary knelt before the feet of the Lord. If you look at verse 2 here in the chapter 11, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Then if you look at chapter 12 and the verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And then we read about Mary bowing down, kneeling at the feet of Christ, wiping his feet with her hair. Then in Luke in the chapter 10, we're told there that whilst Martha was busy serving, Mary sat at Jesus' feet. So she not only knelt before the Lord and anointed his feet, but she sat there at his feet. She heard the word. She listened to his words very carefully, intently. Then here in verse 32 in our chapter, we read about Mary once again at the feet of the Lord. But this time, she falls at his feet. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Mary casts herself down before the Savior. A.W. Pink, writing about Mary at the feet of the Savior, said that this is no mere repetition, the very fact that Mary was always found at the feet of Jesus. In Luke chapter 10, at Christ's feet, she owns him as prophet, for she listens there to his word. In John chapter 11, she approaches Christ as priest, the one who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, the one who shares our sorrows, ministers grace in every time of need. And then in John chapter 12, verse 3, Mary acknowledged him not only as prophet and as priest at his feet, but also as king. For we find that not only did she anoint the feet, but she also anointed the head of the one who was the rejected king of the Jews. She anoints him from head to foot. He is a king. Martha, you see, was a sister who had done all the talking. But Mary simply came before the Lord and she fell down at her feet. And we find here the one statement that she is recorded to have said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Now consider the words of Mary with those of Martha, for they were identical. If you look at verse 21, at least in part, for Martha went on to say something else, but if you look at verse 21, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." You see, like Martha, Mary was looking back to what things might have been. "Lord, if only you had been here present, if only you had come immediately, things would have been different. Lazarus wouldn't have died." I'm sure that there are times when we are all likewise minded. We look back upon life and we think of those times and those circumstances saying, if only this or if only that had happened. But I want you to see it. This was the perfect sovereign will of God. In verse 32, we read here that Mary poured out her heart and soul before the Lord. And in doing so, and in speaking this word to him, she's, in effect, she's telling the Lord about her weaknesses. She's confessing her sin, not sin of unbelief. It was whilst she was there at the feet of the Lord that the Lord began to work. And Mary was to witness something miraculous. She was to witness the Lord moving in a mighty way. We find in verse 43 and the verse 44 that Mary witnessed the power of Christ to resurrect her brother. You see, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing is impossible with God. We also find here that Mary and her faithfulness, Mary and her very godly Christian character, that it had an influence upon others round about her. Look at the verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. You remember that Martha spoke to Mary privately, quietly, for fear that the Jews might hear about Christ and reject him and treat him despitefully. But even though they tried to conceal the fact that the Lord was there, it was in the mind and purpose of God that the Jews would follow her, that they would go with her, that they would inquire also. Here we find that they followed Mary, and that through grace they were brought to follow Christ. Whenever we think of Bethany, we associate it with the power of God. As you and I, as God's people, as we think of this town, automatically that comes to mind is the fact that Bethany is a place where God in mercy, where Christ in power, raised up Lazarus from the dead. That's what it's known for. That's what's associated with it. I pray that the Lord will do the same for this town. That the Lord will do the same for this district. That this town will be known as a place where God has moved in power. Where men and women are brought from nature's darkness and brought from death unto the life of the gospel. As God's people, the Lord calls us to follow Christ. Calls us to fellowship with him. He calls us to focus on the Son of God. That was the answer to Mary's need. That was a remedy here for her situation and for her circumstance. That she would be brought to Christ. And can I say that whatever you face, whatever you encounter upon the road of life, let me say this, that whilst others can encourage and sympathize and seek to help, there is none who can meet your need but Christ. Only the Lord can meet you at the point of your need. As we close, I wonder, what about you who are unsaved today? In the midst of the disappointments, trials of life, you do not know what it is to lean upon the Lord, to rest upon his bosom. You do not know what it is to lay hold and seek the Savior. Could I encourage you this day to come to Christ? The Master is come. The one who has taught us the way of life, the way to God, the one who has instructed us plainly and clearly. The Lord calls men and women to leave their sin, to come to Christ, to lay hold on the Son of God. What a message Mary received. It was exactly what she needed to hear. Mary, the Master is come, calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. May we likewise run and flee to Christ for Jesus' sake. Amen.